I was a total weirdo. I've always been a total weirdo. When someone called me weird when I was 10 or 11, I took it as a massive compliment.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools and tips, how to live life full of meaning, passion and purpose. My guest today is Elle Edwards. Now, she is lively, and whatever you think of this subject, you will enjoy the humour. It is an honest and open conversation, because Elle is not afraid to be weird. She rejoices in being different. It's all about her willingness to be honest and open about talking to God. There's no preaching here, so stick with me. Every podcast will always start with a pre-conversation by email and then a chat. So when I received an email from the lady Elle Edwards, almost the first thing she said to me is, I speak to God a lot, and you and I think, could have a great conversation. I know this conversation could trigger my audience in either direction. For that, I can only apologise, but I ask you please to have an open mind. The podcast is always about people, how people do life, and the tools and inspiration they gain or use so they can live the best life they can. Now, for Elle, that has always meant Christianity, but here's a deeper side to this. As far as she's concerned, she has a daily conversation with what for her is God, and for what other people might be the universe, the creator, or even maybe part of a split personality. None of us have any way of determining whether she's right or wrong until the day comes when we leave this earth and get to find the answers for ourselves. What I can say about this conversation is that for Elle, her relationship with the creator, the being she calls God, really works for her, and it makes her so happy. Now, if something makes someone happy and they seem to be doing good in the world, then who are you or I to criticize it? So whether your view is the man upstairs, the universal architect, or the guardian in whatever form you think it is, or even if you think it doesn't exist at all, please take this conversation as an exploration of how Elle is doing her life and how she's making it work for her. Elle's family moved to Wales when she was little, and for my American listeners, she has a lovely Welsh accent. As a child, she wanted to be Philip Schofield, the kids' TV presenter in the broom cupboard, with a puppet called Gordon the Gopher. She wanted to play the clarinet on the West End or be a doctor on a missionary ship. When at school, she was called weird and she loved it. But she ended up taking a teaching degree in music and becoming a teacher. But all she really wanted to do was fall in love and have children. And when she did that, she found being normal did not make her happy and she was full of rage. It was a Bible weight loss course that showed her that God loved her as she is. She did not lose much weight, but she did find a deeper purpose and meaning, and it was the start of learning to accept herself as she is and go back to being weird. In her words, life has been a series of little accidents and nudges, and it's all been about excitement and passion, something she puts down to ADHD tendencies which she feels are a gift. This is a bubbly conversation. We discuss the difference between going to church and being in direct relationship with God. We have the discussion, what is God? What is the correct pronoun? We explore stories of coincidence and guidance. Elle feels her life is being directed, and all I can say, it is working well for her. It is all about being who you were made to be. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. I am delighted to be with Elle Edwards. Now, Elle is a human, I think. Because that's what the only thing in description we could come up to with each other.
I know she's human a lady, on a good day.
I know she's a lady from Wales, and I know we are going to have a conversation. Out of that, I think we'll just have to see where it goes. So, Elle, have you always lived in Wales?
No, I have not always lived in Wales. That's a good one. I hadn't been asked that question in ages. We moved from Hampshire, my family and I, when I was 12. So we moved to a town called Carmarthen when I was 12. So I've lived here longer than I have lived there. And I support Wales versus England in the rugby. So that makes me Welsh. That's the kind of clarifying distinction in case you ever wondered. So, kids were all born in Wales and they all speak Welsh. So I'm Welsh at heart, even if not officially by birth.
Do you speak Welsh yourself?
Timid Bach.
It sounds like Welsh to me. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
No, really, really little bit. Very badly.
Yes.
Yeah. I gave up. My eldest daughter, who's now 18, when she was three, she said, "Mum, you told me to sit on my toast." When I was trying to use my Welsh to tell her to sit down and eat her toast. And that was about the last time I actually bothered because I was just not very good at it. But they all speak Welsh.
Wales has got some great place names, hasn't it? That's what it's known for.
Yeah, well, the town I live in is called Llanelli, which has got far too many consonants for most people to cope with.
And there's some very long ones. For my American audience, there's some very long words. Isn't the longest town name in the UK, in Wales?
Yeah, Llanfair PG is a short version, but Llanfair plus Gwyn to something, to something, to something, to something, go, go, go. I can't tell you what the bit in the middle is, but it is really long, yeah. Up in North Wales, that is.
There you go. You have to look it up if you want to know more about it. Anyway, look, Elle lives in Wales, discuss that, and we are going to explore this life of yours. So clearly it didn't start in Wales. What did you plan to do? I mean, what do you do now, actually? That might be a good start, other than just being human.
Other than just being human, I'm actually really excited to be alive right now with the internet because thanks to the internet, I get to talk to yourself.
Yeah.
But I also get to do life with people all over the world.
Yeah.
And so what I do at the moment is I share stories on my podcast of people being invaded by God's love in really delightful ways. And then some people who think, oh, that sounds really good, they come and join me in my little playground, which is an online playground, where, because my thing is to equip and inspire people to be who they were made to be with God. And so I do that most of the time. I sit with my headphones in. This will sound mental to some of your audience, depending on where they're at with God stuff. But my ideal start to the day, once I've shooed off whichever offspring are going to school, is I'll sit with my headphones in and my notebook and I'll say, okay, then God, what are you sharing today? What's on your heart? And I'll write down what I hear and then I type that up and I share that with the folks in the playground. And then we record the podcast. It's just lots of podcasting, lots of conversations with people, really just getting to help people be inspired and making them smile, really. But lots of internet stuff, as my husband would say.
For anyone else who hasn't picked that up, this conversation, there will be three people in this conversation today. There will be Elle, there'll be myself, and there'll be someone else.
Yes, definitely.
And what you define that someone else is entirely up to you. For Elle, it's God.
Yes.
For me, yes. I am not quite sure what it is. But I know it's an entity or something that I talk to occasionally. So I am aware that it's there. So this is a three-way conversation today, sort of, I think.
And be encouraged that I strongly maintain, and not everybody, I mean, I'm very, in terms of Christian circles, I'm very liberal, if you like. If we're going to put Christians on a scale, I'm at the scale there which says God loves everybody. But I had this conversation, so I say that because not everyone will agree with me. Like, Christians love to argue amongst themselves. But be encouraged, I personally believe that God is big enough and loving enough and gracious enough that it doesn't matter to him what you call him. Like, some people, they'll talk to the universe. Well, I talk to the creator of the universe. So I guess what I would encourage anybody is, like, don't get hung up on semantics because he doesn't. And we say he, but, and even that's open to some debate, which I know, you know, he, she, you know, all the labels and all the rest of it. But yeah, just be encouraged that it doesn't have to be a big deal.
Yes, I personally pronoun. This is an interesting conversation, which we could go into for a long time, I imagine. So, look, what was
the... I'm not learned enough on that, though. So don't have that conversation with me today. I'd need to go and do some research first.
He, she. Let's go back.
Hang on, you've just, like, of course, if people are non-binary, go they, well, God, if you think Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that actually does say, let us make man in our image. So actually, maybe God doesn't have a pronoun at all. Ooh, now that's a conversation for another day that you've just kind of made my brain go ting, 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 ting. So thank you for that, Paul.
I'm sure it will be part of your notes in the morning at some stage.
Yeah.
Just go to the beginning. What did young Elle want to do? What did you want to do when you got big?
Well, it depends which day of the week you caught me on. Like I am somebody who was always, I was a total weirdo. I've always been a total weirdo. When someone called me weird when I was 10 or 11, I took it as a massive compliment. There was a period in my mid 20s where I tried to play it straight and put myself in a box. And I was the most frustrating, horrible time in my life, which is another part of the story for another time. But as a young kid, I wanted to do all things. Do you remember Philip Schofield in The Broom Cupboard with Gordon the Gopher?
I do, yes.
I wanted his job.
Okay, right.
That was one of the things I wanted.
This was a children's television presenter who worked with a puppet called Gordon the Gopher.
Yes. So I wanted to be Philip Schofield in the Broom Cupboard. I also wanted to play clarinet in the West End. I also wanted to be a doctor on the missionary ship Logos. I wanted to do loads of different things. I ended up eventually doing a teaching degree with music, purely because I fell in love with who the guy who is now my husband. And, I can't possibly leave Carmarthen and go to a Bath. It's so far from where I live. And so I mean, my whole life has been a series of like just being quite sort of like, oh, let's do this and oh, let's do that. And somewhere along the way, like just getting to where we are today, it feels like a series of little accidents, which I don't think are accidents, but lots of little nudges. I just get excited by lots of things is the issue. So
excited and passionate, are they the same thing for you?
That's a good question. I think probably yes and no. I think passion is probably bigger and deeper because they're two different words and the root of them are different. But
well,
like for me,
the root
I can
of
get
the
excited.
Passion is the passion of Christ. So the passion is very much actually rooted in the Christian Judaism.
No, I didn't know that either.
No, it's very much the word passion comes from that place. And as the West has kind of, you know, taken that completely out of the context of, so passion now means something else for us. But that's where it comes from, the passion of Christ, as in he had passion, was prepared to die for mankind.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess taking that to that extreme, then the things that I'd be willing to die for are different or are not the same as the things I get excited about. Like I get very excited about all of the different things, but I wouldn't be willing to die for all of those things. So I guess that would be the distinction. But like I find it part of the, I'm quite sort of, I mean, I have never been diagnosed, but I probably have ADHD type tendencies, but I see them as a gift because it makes it really easy for me to see the delightful things in a day. But part of that though, as well, is this ability to go, oh, what's this? Oh, what's that? And I get excited about all of those things. And so then it's about, thankfully, God has sort of given me direction to channel it so I actually can get something done. Otherwise I would just be this kind of scatty person who just talked lots, which I am too, but...
So you went into teaching, did you say?
Briefly, yeah. So I have a teaching degree as a primary school teacher. And when we first got married, there weren't any primary school teaching jobs where we lived. And down in Pembrokeshire, which is in the far deepest darks of Wales. So instead, I worked in a call centre very briefly. And there was a secondary school that was desperate for a music teacher. And although I hadn't done secondary, they were like, yeah, OK, we need somebody, you can do it. So I did secondary music teaching. And off the back of that, I then had a secondary job elsewhere. But then we basically decided to start a family. And so from there on in, I did a bit of supply teaching. And so I didn't really teach full time for very long at all, maybe about 2 years max, because all I ever really wanted to do was fall in love and get married and have children. And so I did those things. And really weirdly, the time when I should have been happiest with my three children and my lovely husband, that's that time in my 20s when I was trying to be normal and fit into that box. And I was really miserable. And so it's quite fascinating the way life plays out like that.
I'm curious, what does really miserable look like for you? Because I can't quite work out how you would be really miserable.
I was horrible. I mean, I was quite horrible as a teenager as well.
But just from my audience, so Elle is just beaming constantly, and he's like, there's like, you know, the lights are on, that's for sure. So what does miserable look like?
Okay, so the symptoms for me, I think if I'd have gone to the doctor at the time, I would have been diagnosed probably with depression, because I just remember, and I'm really thankful that my kids are so young, they don't remember it. And even my husband doesn't remember it. But I remember times that they're feeling just so frustrated and pent up with rage. I would stand there and be like, I could literally scream. I was just so angry and grumpy and cross. I can still be grumpy sometimes, particularly late at night. If, you know, my middle daughter loves to have those deep and meaningful conversations at 10:30 at night, and I'm really not a night owl. And so, Mum, don't be grumpy. but it doesn't last very long. But I think for me, the biggest difference is I had, after being that like pent up person, this is really random, but I did a Bible weight loss course. And although like I was born into a Christian family and I prayed the prayer when I was 12 and stuff. But there's, for me, one of my frustrations with like, I've already said I'm quite liberal in terms of Christian stuff. I get really frustrated with church as an institution because we preach hellfire and brimstone. So as a result of that hellfire and brimstone, I prayed the prayer and was scared out of hell when I was 12. But it was through that Bible weight loss course in my mid-20s where I was basically shown this picture of God who loved me just as I am. The premise of the course was God's interested in everything. And so if you're tempted to eat a Mars bar when you're not hungry, talk to God about it. And I'm like, oh, and that was new for me. But as a result of that, and the reason I mention it, because it plays into what you asked, is that I suddenly went, well, if God loves me just as I am, and I don't have to try and fit into this mold of what I should be, then maybe I can just be me. And so little by little, that's what I think I was transformed by this radical encounter with God's love and just being who I was born to be, which little did I know at the time, it set me up all those years later. I mean, I was 43 last week. So yeah, like probably nearly 20 years ago now, it set me up for where I am today now. It is fascinating to me, the way that these little pieces all fix together.
So I get the sense almost that you are almost a minister without actually being one, right? That's what I get the sense of.
Probably, yeah. In some ways, like I do take my turn to preach sometimes in our church. Well, our church is tiny.
Yeah, but you seem to be, because it is so much part of your life. It is.
Oh, yeah. But I'm really lucky I can do that because because
Christianity. I mean, Christianity obviously started in your life, was very obviously important to you as a child, and that was your.
I think sort of. I mean, there's a difference. I remember even like I started going back to church again when my eldest was born, and she was a little baby, and my husband, the policeman, was working shifts, and I was lonely. So I basically stopped talking to God at all, and married an atheist, agnostic, was just like, yeah, whatever. But there's a big difference, I think, between this picture of God and all this stuff that we're told in church versus actually being in relationship and doing life with him. And that's been the difference for me. So yeah, my life now is really about the IER part of UIA is intent. And like, this is an acronym he only gave me like about 6-7 weeks ago. I didn't know it back. I registered it in 2014. I didn't know it then. But the IER part of UIA is intentional expectant relationship. So a lot of basically what I do each day.
What's UIA? You look like about to say. You just reintroduced UIA into the conversation and I have no idea what you mean.
Mention UIA yet? Okay. Oh. Well, that's what I do today. Okay, that's really confused you then.
Yeah, very much so. Did I miss something?
Okay, this is a really good example of how this ADHD brain works. In my brain, all those points are completely connected. The UIA is this word that I just stumbled across probably like 8 years ago, which is in essence is about being who you were made to be. And I thought that was all it was, just be who you're made to be. But then no, God then said, yeah, it is about being who you were made to be and stepping into all of that. But the IER part of it is intentional expectant relationship. So doing it with him. And that's, so yeah, to answer your question, I guess I am really, because I spend most of my days saying to people, if you're not sure, ask God, and telling people stories of his love so that they can hear it for themselves.
So yes, UIER is spelt how?
YOUIER.
Okay, that's easy enough.
But Americans can't say it. It's hilarious to me, right? Because they, and I didn't realize until a few weeks ago, it's because they have an extra like UIER. They really, really struggle with UIER. What? How do I say this? Like, and I had this conversation with God because last year he said, Tommy, to trademark it. I'm like, but God, nobody can spell it or say it. What are you on about? He said, yeah, well, no one knew what a Google was once. I'm like, okay. So UIER it is.
I mean, it is fascinating that you're having these conversations. So how long have you been in this dialogue?
Most recently, like intentionally like this, it started in written form right at the start of lockdown last year. And so I initially looked on the lock, and should we date this for the purposes of people who like in the future? COVID in 2020, in case for your podcast, it's going to live on forever, of course. When it becomes a GCSE history question, when you and I are long gone and our great-great-grandchildren. But no, back in the start of lockdown, I remember again through a series of, that's not strictly true, actually. No, it was probably more like June 2019. I lose time as a thing. But no, the intentional conversation piece has been relatively recent because although I prayed the prayer when I was 12 and loved into heaven in my 20s, I still thought that the only people who really hear from God in tangible ways are like prophets and like really holy people. Because that we don't really talk about it in church. We don't, although we say, oh yeah, you've got Holy Spirit living inside of you, you can do life with God. We don't really talk about what that looks like. And I think
Well,
that is such a
you
shame.
see, the point is, church, that's the problem. The church, and I put that in inverted commas, originally was designed as a mechanism for controlling people. And the whole idea of having a preacher at the front of the thing who gives you, who's your conduit to God, is
Right,
perfect
yeah.
for maintaining control and keeping things
But
in.
you're talking about Western church. What's really interesting, and one of the things that he had me go do last year is I did this whole course, again, internet lockdown, whatever, and I did a whole module on church history, which I thought quite honestly would be really boring, but it wasn't. It was really fascinating because it went right back to like after Jesus had died and come back to life, and when they were trying to figure out like what's in the Bible, what does this look like? There was a big split, and I'd heard it in sort of the eons of past this East-West split. But actually, the reason why our church in the West is everything that you're describing, and my hope and prayer is that we're getting a lot less like that, but is because of that great big split. And so the Western church went down this route of, like you say, we have government and we have church intertwined and controlling people. The King James Bible was written with the way it was written so that, yeah, the people must be kept under, kept under control and told to do, we were scaring people as a mechanism of control. So you're quite right. But that
Nothing's
was never how
nothing's
the
changed there then.
Well, I like to think that our church isn't like that.
No,
There are
scaring people
examples.
as a means of control. Nothing's changed there.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, true enough. Yeah. But like the church was never designed to be like that. Like when Jesus said to Peter, like, you're my rock on the Roman Catholics, and we're not going to go off on tangents of dissing particular denominations, except to say that Peter, who the Roman Catholics build it, their whole thing on, that was never meant to be the way that it's been played out. And one of my hopes is at the moment I keep getting whispers of actually we're getting a new picture of God's love. And we've been so focused on this idea of, God's going to get you and you got to be, and
I
that's not
think
how.
for clarity's sake, I'm not trying to diss religions here. And I think the issue always comes about here. The issue is about God is God. Man's interpretation of that is one thing. And what happens when you put
Totally.
politics in the mix, it's the interpretation that gets the outcome that a man wants rather than what God wants.
Definitely. Oh yeah, definitely. But what we see in the Bible, if I don't know, the Abraham is one that lots of people have heard of, even if they don't really do Bible stuff. Abraham was told by God to go and offer his son as a sacrifice. And if you read that in 2021 from our lens of here, we go, what are you playing at, God? That's ridiculous. But then you look at actually the history at the time when it was happening, they were all offering all of their kids to these different the situation he lived in. And so much of the problem is that we read these things and we're told these things as if like from our lens all those years in the future. And so I think it's really important we go, okay, well, what were they speaking into? Because Paul said that women shouldn't speak in church and we should cover our heads. I don't cover my head in church and I speak lots, So what was Paul speaking into? And I think as well, like that mechanism for control and going, people will read what they want to read into it, won't they? I mean, we're all guilty of that to a certain extent,
Oh, of
but I think
course.
one of the really important things, yeah, well, we are, aren't we? And even like when, like I say, I sit with my notebook, I have to be really intentional about, like, I remember last week or the week before, one of my friends was like struggling with something, and she said, oh, can you ask God, because this is what I think. And I should say as well, I personally don't think that anybody, if someone says to you, oh, God tells me this, it should serve as confirmation or encouragement. It shouldn't be something like, okay, that was completely left of field, because God is speaking to everybody. And so, yes, I've had times where people have spoken into my life of encouragement. But if someone tells me something like, okay, Elle, I feel like God is telling me that you should sell your house and go and live in Mongolia, I'd be like, oh, well, that's interesting. I'll wait to see how that one plays out because I have not heard anything like that. So we all have to be careful of it. But it's that love piece, I think, is just so critical. I think how God is represented by the church historically is pretty poor, shall we say.
Yeah, I guess. And it's very easy in everything to judge the past from the frame of the future, from the frame of the present. There's the
Definitely.
famous TV program Downton Abbey that has been so successful in the UK. And you
Yeah.
watch that program and you think yourself, that's nothing like what that would have been like at the time. All they've
Yeah.
done is taken modern values and overlaid it on a period
Totally.
piece.
Oh,
And
yeah, definitely.
it's like service was not that good. Not that
No,
pleasant.
no. Oh no! But at the same time, the other part of that as well is there would have been other jobs that were even more horrendous, and
Yeah.
like, but it's just part of a wider picture. But it's just so much like one of the things like I hadn't realized until I dug into it is how much of the church history has been influenced by ancient Greek philosophy, for example. And it was all down to one, which is a conversation for another time because it's a big one. But it was all down to one person reading the Bible, not liking what he read didn't fit with how he understood God, and a bloke went, "Well, don't worry about that. Read it like this." I went, oh, okay. And then he went off on one, everyone listened to him. And the rest, as they say, is history. It's madness to me. And so I guess part of what I want to do is give people a fresh picture of go, actually, do you know what? This is how God wants to be known by you. We're told God is love. And so that's what I do with the podcast. It gives people those little stories of different stories of God impacting them with love in
So
that, because I believe God loves everyone.
for you, so let's explore this. So for you, you have this conversation with God. So
Yeah.
what is God?
God is spirit, like Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He just like is.
So those are references from the Christian
Yeah.
faith. So that is
Yeah.
your that's the story that you have built around this. That's your sense of it.
Yes, I would say so.
And you could just as easily be sitting in a huge virtual reality machine, and the person you call God could be the operator of the machine.
Yes. However, I think that this person that we call, I say person, this being that we call God is about relationship. So as long as the person controlling the virtual relationship loves me, is interested in every aspect of
Yeah,
my life, you
you
know,
paid them before you
fine.
got into the machine to look after you. You're getting what you
Yeah,
paid
well.
for.
I look at it, right? If ultimately I'm wrong, okay, if we get to the end of this life and I'm wrong and it just stops, right, as a result of me being me, and like I am much happier and more delightful and more loving to the people around me
I'm
now
not. I'm
than I
not
was
saying
then.
either's right or wrong. I'm just
No, I
saying
know you're not,
when
but
you
I can
start
live
looking at
with the
when you look
fact.
at it from that perspective, it's like
Yeah.
like it could just be all whatever. I mean, there's no. It just is the story that we all
It
have to.
could be. But at the same time, I would say like doing life now with God is like when we have, 'cause like, yeah, I smile lots, but there's still stuff going on in like day-to-day life, which is a challenge. And
Yes.
I feel much, I enjoy doing life more having that relationship with God than when I didn't. So even if I'm completely wrong and I get to the end of it all and it's just one great big machine, I'm like, well, do you know what? We had a great big time doing
Well, that's the
it.
point. Well, we'll get to that. So, yeah, it is interesting this exploring this. So, I have followed a guy for years called Perry Marshall, who is a marketing guy, and he recently has now started releasing a thing called Memos from the Head Office. And what it turns out is that he and his lot of his business connections have actually been in dialogue with God all the time while they're doing their business. And it's
And
called
you
Mem
mentioned him to me
yeah,
when
it's
you and I
called
spoke before, and
yeah.
I'd never heard of him though, until I've heard of him for the Internet Marketing Yellow Highlighter Brigade. I'd never heard of him from a faith perspective.
Yeah, and I mean, and it started for him when he was trying to work out a difficult maths problem around the Pareto principle, and he's also talking about how he was also thinking the same day about how he could help his brother-in-law support a mission in somewhere in Africa somewhere. And they just moved to a place, and my wife had to stay home with youngest child, so he decided to go to this music thing at the local church. They were new to the area, so just sort of go to this thing. And while he was there, some woman walked across the room and said, "Hi, I'm Vivian. I've got a message for you from God. You're working on a maths problem. He's going to say you're going to sort it out. Oh, and by the way, your business is going to work well, and you're going to support missions." And he's like,
I love
he's
it.
tears were coming down his face at this point, and then like a mouth was dropped open. He's like, "I don't get that at all. How did that?" And he said, "If only you knew." And she turned and said, "He knows," and just walked away. And within a
Brilliant.
year, his business had gone ballistic. I mean, he had a 500% growth on his business within a year, and he did solve the maths
Gosh.
problem. And you know, and it goes on and on. I mean, so I will leave links to that in this. I will leave links to Perry's work in this article, in this podcast, because I think it's very relevant. And this is one of the reasons why I'm so delighted to talk to you, because I, and it's fascinating to know
what that time, what time frame are we talking then? So how recently, like, give me, because I remember Perry, coming across Perry Marshall's name when I first fell into this world of internet marketing, like about over a decade ago.
Well, but, that so has would he have been... happened. That happened before it took off. So he did that. Oh, that conversation was in 2004, and he kept it quiet for years. This story,
right? Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
And he's had another in 2018, because he does this. His conversation. He does writing like you do in the mornings. He writes, and he has a an interaction with God in that process. And in 2014, it might have been, he asked how he was going to submit the maths around the, how he was going to publish the maths around this formula that he worked out. And the answer
was that the 80-20 thing.
Yes, there's quite a lot of maths behind it. And the after God came back with publish it in the Harvard Journal. And he's like, well, I don't know in the Harvard Journal. I'm a marketing guy. How am I going to do that? And in 2018, he was approached by an Italian company who asked him to speak at a conference. And when he said yes, they said, oh, by the way, we're publishing in the Harvard Journal. Would you like to submit an article?
Oh, I love it. That's so good.
He didn't seek it out. It just turned up.
Yeah.
And so he did. And
that's one of the things. Well, because that's one of the things that he's been working on me on is actually, do you know what? It's great to set these goals, but we can get really fixated on the how. And actually, do you know what? If we can just go, this is the thing we're doing, and then let God figure out some of that stuff while still taking action. I'm not suggesting, like, I do loads. I'm doing the podcast. I do this, that, and the other. I'm still taking action, but it's like getting less, like going, well, how are you going to do that? How is that going to happen? It makes life a lot less stressful. And so I love stories like that because it's just brilliant. One of the ladies in the playground, that happened to her about, lose track of the time scale, but basically God told her she was going to buy a building in her town where she lives, and it was over $1 million, and she didn't have the money and didn't want to go into debt. And fast forward 18 months and she has actually bought the building, and part of her mission is to help other women in her town, because she lives in quite a remote area in the States, to build businesses. And so she let go of the how, and it just, you know, through a series of God incidences, nudges and niggles, she, you know, it happened. And so I love stories like that because they're just brilliant.
There's another one. One of the women in his group, she was having these dreams about a crash or having problems around something going on. So she advised all of her investors to withdraw their money out of the stock market in 2008. And within 30 days, the stock market crashed.
Wow.
Stock market crash. And she did the same again just before COVID hit. And last year, she got investigated by the SEC for giving inappropriate advice to her investors.
Oh, no.
And she's like, said, where did you get this information from? She said, well, God told me. You can't advise people on that basis. Well, they're all 20% ahead, so I'm not going to stop.
No. Oh, my word. Yeah.
So, look, this is a fascinating... So, I appreciate I'm bringing other stories into this, but the reason I'm doing it is because these are stories from a contact I have in America, and I know you've got contact in it. So what are your stories that you said that stories and examples of how this expresses itself in the world?
We've got loads of stories.
What's one for you?
One of my favorite stories. For me, the Bible weight loss story is the most significant one, only because it set me off on that trajectory. But I've had stories from like other people. One of the things I did in the lead up to my birthday is we've had this project called Heaven and Hell at 43, because I was turning 43. And so I was inviting other people to tell their stories. So like we've had this story of this lady who, you mentioned maths, she was in the Marines or in some American sort of armed forces type thing. And she needed to pass maths as part of her degree. She was doing it while she was in night school, and she was failing and she was really struggling. And she just sat in her car and was crying, God, I really can't do this. And then it was like she described it as if like he sort of like put this knowledge in her head. Well, I'm not even telling her story very well at all. I guess people need to go and find those stories. But what I love is every time I hear these stories, it's stories of people meeting God where they're at. And so we have stories of people, like she was in her car and she had a need around a maths problem. And we have this idea that God's only interested in the really big things, like, I don't know, like cancer or I don't know, like massive tragedies. But like God met me through a Bible weight loss course, which was really stupid in one sense, because actually I didn't lose that much weight. I'm still quite curvy, but I'm healthy and fit and whatever. But it's just those times God is interested in the minute details of life too. And so we have this picture in the church of God being, God is love and he loves the world, which he does, but God also takes love really personally. And so really it's about those times. Okay, I'll give you a tangible example, just come to mind. Thank you, Holy Spirit. A few days ago, I'm not going to name names because it's not my story to tell, but one of my offspring, she finished her exams. And as a year group, they were going to a local town, a local beauty beach spot, which I again shan't name, to spend time together for the evening. Like my other daughter had done at the end of year, she had a prom. They didn't have a prom this year because of COVID. And so instead they met together. And I got to be honest, I was really quite anxious about it, because I know what teenagers can be like. And I was like, oh, just really struggling to go, do you know, God, I know that you love her. And I know, like, I've got examples. I can tell you two stories of times where I firmly believe he sent an angel to save her life or save her from critical care, from critical injury. So I know, I remain convinced that he has a plan and a purpose for her life. He needs her to stay alive. So I'm saying to God, I know this. I know that you wanted to stay alive, but I'm really scared about this, because I also know what teenagers can be like. And as I was exploring this conversation with him, it was like just this overwhelming sense of, yes, I've got her, it's going to be okay. Which I know sounds wishy-washy and not tangible to people who don't do this sort of stuff. But for me, the number of times where if there's something I'm worried about and I'll just go, I'm really worried about this, can you like help me see this from your perspective? And I'll just sort of sit there and with my headphones in, I might sort of sing in a random language that people would sort of call singing in tongues, but it doesn't sound like any language at all. But it's in my head usually, because otherwise my family will think I'm mental. They think I'm mental anyway, but more mental. But it's just, for me, it's about having peace and comfort and those times when it doesn't make the worries disappear, but it makes them sort of feel manageable, if you like.
But let's talk about that. That's an interesting point, because it's like, you know, there are people that will turn around and say, you know, that the whole point that disasters happen in the world, that the thing like things like cancer exist, things like eye diseases exist, proves that God doesn't exist, because a God wouldn't allow these atrocities to happen.
Yeah, but you know the Christian trite answer for that one, it's free will. It's the one we always peddle, that one, don't we? It's this balance between, yeah, God, when he first made the world, I mean, we can leave aside the specifics of that, if you like, whether you believe that God made the world in 7 days, whether you believe whatever, the world was made. I believe God made it, whatever. The world was made. And when it was originally, he created it, it wasn't meant to be like that. Cancer wasn't meant to be there. I'm not sure if wasps were even in the first version of the world, but I'm sure that they probably were. Maybe they'd sting didn't hurt as much. But that wasn't how it was originally created. But Adam and Eve, like, God doesn't want robots. God wants people to be in relationship, to choose to be in relationship, which is why the whole Adam and Eve thing happened. But he knew that it would play out.
Do you
like
think
that,
the Adam and Eve thing happened?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, okay.
I'm one of those crazy people.
Yeah, okay. I'll just park that, because I can't deal with that bit. I just,
yeah, that's fine.
Well, it's too much incest. Sorry, I can't deal with that.
Okay.
But I guess the thing about the sense that I have is the universe don't care, really.
Yeah, right.
And it doesn't matter whether we live or die in any sense of it. The point of it is the journey and how we deal with the journey.
Yeah, I the universe to me, like, if I would say if you're equating the universe with God, I would disagree. I think that God does infinitely care. I think the whole purpose of, like, God was in relationship before we were ever even around. And the whole Jesus story is him going, look, this is how much I care. This is how much I love you. But I also do then agree that it is about the journey. I think we get too fixated as Christians as well. You know, because I think it was Spurgeon said, it takes a little bit of faith to get to heaven. It takes a whole lot more faith to bring heaven to earth. There are too many Christians who are living hell on earth because they're just like, they prayed the prayer and now they're miserable. And that's part of my thing is, like, you know what, there shouldn't be any miserable Christians. Yes, we have difficulties in life, and, you know, some people find it easier to see the silver lining and whatever, but we don't need to be miserable. There's no need for that. And but they're choosing to, like, that's, ugh, no. So yeah, I agree with you, it is about the journey. For sure. You were going to say something then.
No, I'm just curious. I'm just exploring it out because, and I don't know where this conversation is going to go. But I mean, I
met, it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Kathy Bullock, I met her last year. Now, she's an amazing woman in the States, Kentucky, I think. She's a retired performer, I think. But her thing is spiritual music and going right back to the slave industry, so the slave trade.
Right.
So she is her great grandfather was a slave, as was her mother. I think her mother was a slave. She was born. Her great grandmother was a slave. Yes. She was a producer, basically, because when they couldn't bring slaves in, they started growing their own nasty. Yeah. So you can see, but I mean, and the slaves had Christianity, and the whole thing about it was that you know it might not be good for you, but it'll be good, better for your children. So they use this whole thing about, you know, about praising God to be better in the future. So what I'm getting at is that there's some pretty dark stuff around this, idea that, you know, it happens because it's God's will.
Yeah, because you can take it. This is the area where we get ourselves in a pickle. I don't have the answer to this one. And luckily, I don't imagine you expect me to have the answer to this one. Because the bit that I get in a pickle about, if I allow myself to think, okay, so if we, like, it's balancing, like you say, free will versus God's will. Like, I believe ultimately there's a verse in the Bible that says that God wants, basically doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everyone to be in relationship with him. I'm paraphrasing. So I ultimately do believe that God will get his own way and will eventually love everybody into relationship with him. Again, that's not a belief that all Christians will agree with. And at the same time, how do we balance that with when you have family members who were born with a hand missing? Or I've got a nephew who's only got 3/4 of a kidney. Like, you know, this is where we get ourselves into. We say, well, did God want my nephew to be born with 3/4 of a kidney and have to go into hospital and have so many, he's not even 10, and I've lost track of how many operations he had. And at the same time, I'm born in the West in a country where I can talk about Jesus openly, and you've got people in North Korea, they can't even talk to their kids about Jesus because they'll get killed. I haven't done anything to warrant being there versus that person in North Korea. I agree with you completely, and there isn't an answer to that.
Well, there might be. Going back to my machine my machine possibility. If I decided to get into the machine and experience that, I'm coming here to experience that, and the operator says, "Okay, we'll help you experience that."
Right.
So now you're here to experience, have a journey, and that journey will involve hospital, diseases, persecution. Mm-hmm. It will involve this shit that we don't like. Now you've got a possibility where God does allow it because that's what you requested before you turned up.
But when did I request it though?
Before you came here.
Okay.
As part
did
of
I know the, what I
as,
was
yes, you signed up for it as part of the experience.
Oh.
How does that fit?
Yeah. But would I not know that that's what I'd signed up
no.
for? I've been given a tablet that wipes my memory.
There's no point in knowing you signed up for it, because then you kind of turn around because you've got to experience it. If you know you signed up for it, you're not going to experience it truly, are you?
But why would I sign up for that though? Like all the pain and stuff.
It's an experience.
It's a pretty rubbish one though. Like, if you, depending on which one you sign up for, like the person in North Korea who lives on like half a piece of bread every day.
Well, I agree. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's an experience. It's like, you know, it's like the Buddhist will turn around and say life is suffering. That's what the Buddhists say. Life is suffering. And that's it. It's the journey.
I think I don't know. I think ultimately it's about like thriving and joy. But I recognize, I say that from a place of privilege for all the things that we've just identified as well. I don't know. See, for me, from a faith perspective, that's the bit where I have to go, do you know what? I don't know, but I trust in the love that God has. And I know that ultimately he will figure it all out. And because I think he's playing a long game. Like this earth has, from my opinion, my perspective then, this earth as we have it today and all of the stuff that's happening and all the things that are going on, that's not, from my perspective, I don't see that as the end point. There is, at some point in the future, there is an end point to this life as we know it. And then there's the life to come. And then you've got your people in North Korea and the life to come. You know, everyone's on a much more level playing field. But lots of that stuff is a bit like, yeah, I don't really know. My mum calls it being a pan person. Like, you know, God's got it, it'll all pan out in the end. Because we get to, like, people who read Revelation and they get themselves in a pickle and go, because it talks to, like, there's lots of really, I don't know how much of Revelation you've read, there's some really dark metaphors in there.
I've seen the film, I think, but other than that.
Right, yeah. So some of that stuff's really scary and people get themselves, oh, and pre-millennialist and post-millennialist. I'm like, do you know what? Let's just be a pan person. It'll all pan out in the end. Because you could, the thing is, right, as well, you could lose an entire lifetime trying to figure out all the answers. And actually, I'd rather just step up and live.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. So on that subject, I mean, we've had a windy conversation and you know, and I've brought all sorts of rabbits into the arena as well.
Yeah. Why not?
My podcast, I can do what I like. Yes. So what is success to you? How do you define success?
That's one of those ones. For me, success is like freedom, having choices. But also, because that was one of your questions on your list, I did think about it beforehand. You'll be pleased to know I did my homework. I was thinking about how would I define success, and I much prefer to think of it as like little daily wins in terms of, okay, how have I showed up today? Have I shown up today and loved on the people around me? Have I made this world a better place today by having me in it? So if I can get to the end of the day, and because we all have a mixed bag, we might have a pile. If you were to pile up the activities from a day, there might be a pile of things were a bit like, oh, you didn't quite do that as well as you could have done, L, and a pile of, oh yeah, that went really good, L. If the pile of that went really good, L, is bigger than the pile of, oh, you could have done better there, L, then that's a success for that day.
That sounds pretty simple.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, there you go. Well, that contribution then, how does that fit in your life?
Contribution. I see the stuff that I'm doing now with Yuya and helping people be more delightful humans. I see that as my contribution. I also have contribution as a parent. Like we as humans, we're multifaceted and we wear many different hats, don't we? And so, like, my kids have only got one mother. My husband, I'm glad to say, only has one wife. And so my first contribution has to start with my family. And so for me, it's like balancing, doing stuff like this. Like, I love doing this. I could talk on to people all day. But if I was to do that all day at the expense of my family, that would not be contributing to the world as a whole. But I do also feel really strongly, it's taken a while to get to this point, but I do really feel like the stuff that we're doing with Yuya, it has a purpose and is going to make a difference, and already does make a difference in small ways. It's just, if we could have more delightful human beings in the world, just being who they're made to be and like just thriving and being delightful, the world would be a better place. And so I see any part that I can play into that, I see that as part of the contribution piece.
How do you contribute to yourself?
How do I contribute? Get enough sleep and lots of water. I like sleeping. Sleeping is good. No, for me, that ties into the freedom piece. Like, I am really fortunate or blessed or whatever word you want to use. Like, we made a conscious choice, my husband and I, when we were first married, to start a family quite young. And then they never had a full, they always had mum at home. And I did bits of this and bits of that. But as a result, I've been able to explore, okay, what is it that I'm going to do? Like, I went around in circles in 2011, 2012. What's my thing? What am I here to do? And ultimately, the conclusion I came to was my thing is to be me. And it was the start of that Yuya thing. But I am really fortunate that I get to play with this, all this sort of stuff. But yeah, for me, it's about getting to do more of this stuff, getting enough sleep, enough water, because otherwise I get dehydrated. All the boring stuff that we get told is good for us, actually, that is good for us. As he says, as he sips his coffee.
It's water, actually.
Is it? Oh, well done.
You reminded me of water. So clearly, contribution is about the Yuya thing and what you do. And my next question, I think it's a bit pointless really, because we've been doing it all the time really, and this question is, what is it you want people to ask you about?
They can ask me anything. I love questions, actually. I think questions are great anyway.
Tell me about Yuya. What is Yuya? How does it work? What's the process? What do we do? How do I engage with Yuya?
How do you be Yuya? It depends where you're at though. So we have the podcast, and so we have stories, we have But actually, no, I have a better question. Okay, so for anybody, this has just popped in my head, have you and I don't think we haven't done it today, but when we spoke before, have we ever talked about silver lining spotting and that three-word hack?
No.
Okay.
Time to do this.
Okay, that will be the question then, because actually we want to leave people whether somebody doesn't. I would maintain that God loves everybody, and he is loving on you even if you don't let him love you yet. With that said, I believe that all of us, the way that our minds are wired, are very specific. And so one of the things I get really excited about when I get opportunities to talk about it, so we'll go there, is the silver lining spotting. I've already said it's really easy for me because of my slightly ADHD brain, but I found out through a conversation in 2018 that you can actually teach people to be silver lining spotters. And the way that your brain is wired, the more, I don't know how much neuroscience, have you interviewed a neuroscientist yet?
Probably. Carry on. 170.
Okay. Have you talked about the reticular activating system?
Yes,
at the
I
back
have.
Of your mind?
Yes.
Yeah. So because of the reticular activating system, and the quick version for any of your audience who haven't listened to that,
it means when
episode,
you're looking for a new car, you see that car everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Your mind filters stuff in that it thinks is important to you. But this is why it's good for silver lining spotting, right? So you have these three words. Say, for example, like, okay, you've just had your water. Say when we finish this interview, you get up and then you nudge in your water and then you spill your water all over your floor. And like, oh, it's not like a big catastrophe, but it's a minor irritation. And if it maybe like makes a stain on the floor, these little things that have the potential to spiral your day, that thing happens. And then you go, ugh, that thing happened, but at least. And then you pause and then you allow your brain to see what it will come up with, because your mind loves to fill in the blanks. Now, I quite often argue, do you know what? For the folks who do life with God, Holy Spirit helps too. But that's an aside. We're not going to jam him back in there again. We've talked about him lots already. But your mind will fill in the blanks. And so then suddenly, so like I did this in a podcast interview. Thankfully, we're glad to know, not this one, obviously. My dog walked in as we were talking about silver lining spotting and was promptly sick on the carpet. I said, oh, well, the dog's been sick on the carpet, but at least it was only like foamy sick. It didn't have any lumps in it. But it was true, though. I was like, okay. And you can do this with all sorts of different things. And the more that you do it, it becomes like second nature, because your mind then goes, oh, that's important to her. That's important to her. And it starts filtering those things in. And before you know it, you'll become an irrepressible silver lining spotter and life will be more delightful.
That is a really good tip, actually. And I probably do it unconsciously. So it's like when you say spilling water, like I actually did spill water on my, I was doing something in my son's office. He had space downstairs for study. And so we tightened it up yesterday and I didn't know it was a glass of water and I spilled it over. So I had to go and get a cloth to it. But then of course I washed the desk in the process. It's like, okay.
Yes.
No. So the coffee cup stains disappeared because I cleaned the desk. Because the water had been spilled on it. So yes, I absolutely agree with you. Yes, totally.
And it does. And I love it. And so the car is the example I always give, because I have a bright yellow car that kind of matches my bright yellow wall. A weird coincidence. I had the car before I had the wall, but whatever. But it's amazing. Like, you buy this car and suddenly there are yellow cars everywhere. You find out you're pregnant, or you might find out your partner or your wife is pregnant. And suddenly there's babies in pushchairs everywhere. And actually, has anyone ever talked to you about how the Facebook algorithm mimics your mind?
No, oh, yeah.
It's the real life example of it.
Yeah, you end up in a silo of those people yourself. You end up seeing the same thing all over.
But you can hack it. Mm-hmm. You can hack it, like how you hack your mind and you choose what to deliberately notice. Do it with Facebook as well. So you stop engaging with the stuff that winds you up, and instead you like the things. And it's the real life example of it.
Yeah.
It actually does work.
Well, they're trying to get you to click things they think you want, aren't they? So that's what it's all about. Yeah.
And then they'll sell ads and all the rest of it. I know, but it is fascinating to me that it is like a tech real world example of how our minds already do it.
Mm.
But it totally works. And because I never used to be a silver lining spotter, it's a relatively, like, in the last 10 years. Really. I mean, I maintain, thinking about this whole journey thing, I maintain that the weirdo that I was when I was 10 or 11, that I was being me then. And then I went through this is one of my bugbears, this idea of how society, expectations, you know, you should do well in school, get a job, get, you know, maybe get married, have a mortgage and all this stuff, you know.
That's the success model we're supposed to sign up to.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I have those things. Don't get me wrong. I've got a house and I've got children. I've got a husband who loves me. We have a mortgage and all the rest of it. But that actually, if you define life by that and you put yourself in that box, that's where all the, like, you just get like, ugh. And certainly made me miserable. And so I can't remember. I've lost my train of thought completely on that point. I don't remember where we were going with it. But it's No, I'm lost. I don't remember what we were saying, but it doesn't have to be that way. You know,
we're talking about silver lining and about that's where it came from. The whole idea that you've been working with silver linings the last 10 years. So look, let's, I've lost my thread on that as well. So we'll just park it and we'll say it is what it is.
Episode, we can do that for the next one. That'll be the part two, another day in the future.
Because what will happen, of course, we'll put this thing down and go, that's what I wanted to say. But hey, so if people want to get connected with you, what do you do for people and how can they help? How can they get involved?
It depends where what they need and what they want. So they can, we have the podcast, which goes out all over the place on Facebook and Instagram and whatever. But if you go to uia.com, on the page, on the front page there, there's options. There's the Heaven and Hell is the podcast for people who want the love stories. We have the Itchy Soul Playground, which is the community where we do like daily encouragement. There's training and the accountability and all that sort of stuff. And then there's also the dream catching, which is like the one-on-one. Say like if somebody has a dream, they're really excited about it. But you can't change the world off excitement. I know I love excitement, but excitement alone is not going to change the world. You've actually got to take action. And so the dream catching then is about spending time with people and then sitting. These are for God folks, really, like people who don't want to talk to God are not going to like it. But we sit together. We have a three-way conversation like you alluded to. OK, these are and actually seeking God's heart for what the next action is. But uia.com is the starting point for all of that. And I'm Ms. L. Edwards on most social media places like Instagram and Facebook and even LinkedIn. I don't do much on LinkedIn, but Holy Spirit nudged me to restart a LinkedIn account a couple of months ago because he said they could do with some joy on LinkedIn. So there we are.
And you're probably right. Just some joy on LinkedIn would be lovely.
Almost certainly. But the one thing though is that I didn't realize that when you deactivate your account, like it goes away completely. I did have a LinkedIn account with like lots of different connections. I think that is what they're called. And it disappeared. So I now only have like 15 connections, but it's all good. Doesn't really matter.
I'll connect with you if you like.
All right then. And Ms. Edwards there as well.
You'll have 16 after this.
That'll be nice. Yay! I should as well. Yeah, that's one of my dreams for this year, actually. My YouTube channel is teeny tiny. There's 13 subscribers because this is one of the dangers of not having one primary channel because my stuff goes out everywhere. You're spread out, aren't you? But that's one of my goals for this year is to have 100 subscribers so I can have a custom URL for that. So if you want to subscribe, you can do that too. That would be appreciated.
What is quite interesting is that, you know, we are talking this connection stuff that you have, but you are grounding it into the real world with the your product and with all the thing and all the stuff around it. So that's great, wonderful. Those links will be available at livepassionandbusiness.com and also you can find them
awesome
on the podcast app, which is probably above or below. I never know where it appears in the podcast app. Do you remember? where does the text appear, above us or below us? I never know.
I think I think it depends on which, because of course, depending on where you host and where it pushes out to, I've given up on trying. And they keep changing the language as well. It used to be subscribe and then it was follow or the other way around. I don't know. Because mine also goes out to the Alexa Smart Briefing as well. My podcast episodes are deliberately 10 minutes or less. So they can go out to Alexa and they also go on IGTV. And so like I lose track of where that text will be because it's impossible.
10 minutes. Gosh, I don't know how we have a conversation with you in 10 minutes. It would be impossible.
No, it's possible. We record it live on my Facebook page. And so we have a little bit of chit chat at the start. Then I do the recording and then we have a little chit chat at the end. It's good fun.
Good. Oh, well, I'm short sure people will come and have a look. That's fine. That's fine. So look, the last question I have is what's the meaning of life? But I guess are you going to tell me, or are you going to tune into something else and ask someone else what the meaning of life is?
I sat with my notebook at the start and I wrote all your questions out. And so I did say, so for me, the answer is going to be love, because I think love powers everything. To love and be loved, ultimately, I think is the meaning of life. Mm-hmm. With that, you know, we talk about like God is love and that. But yeah, for me, it's about love. In the bigger context of that as well, like could we say, oh yeah, I love coffee. Like I do love coffee, but the way I love coffee is different to the way I love my children. Like we bandy this word around. I think there's a reason for that. I personally think that we were made with this innate desire to connect with each other. But also I think, you know, with a higher power as well. That's how the Itchy Soul, incidentally, the Itchy Soul Playground, my community, is called the Itchy Soul because it was the clean version of the G-spot. I had a conversation with a friend many years years ago. I have lots of different names for lots of different things that I do, and I didn't actually come up with any of these names. And so the Itchy Soul came about. It was a fiction novel first, incidentally, but that's an aside. I had this conversation where I said, well, it's like, it's the G-spot. It's this part of everybody. I was like, I can't call it the G-spot. So that's why it became the Itchy Soul, and the rest then was history. So.
Well, I guess you could have called it the G-spot, but you probably wouldn't have many men join it, probably.
Yeah, possibly. And it might get blocked on Google.
You may have got some very odd people turning up. So yes, probably best. Itchy Soul probably works best.
Yeah, and it makes people laugh now when I get to tell that story. And it's fun as well. You get to read people's reaction, because some people just laugh. Some people are like, oh, they're really like a little bit shocked, depending on how sort of where they're at. And because as you can imagine, I talk to lots of different people and some people are more straight is a word I'm going to use. Straight, not straight as in like sexually straight, straight as in like, you know.
I can imagine. Yes, absolutely. Yes. I'm sure some
people. And you break down their barriers by telling you, by mentioning the G-spot. And you
I'm sure some people will find this conversation straight. Today, which has been a bit heretical, maybe even. I don't know. I mean,
quite possibly. Yeah, quite possibly. But I can live with that. It's all good.
But it is what it is. And that's the point about this podcast. You know, people come here to tell me their stories and we go wherever we go. L. Edwards, thank you so much. It's been
a thank blast. You for having me.
I don't know where we went or where we arrived. I think we just had a journey and it's been wonderful. Thank you.
And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, L. Edwards. If you would like to connect with L, you can find her on youyer.com. That's youyer.com. She's on Instagram, on Facebook and on YouTube, and all those links will be available at the website lifepassionandbusiness.com. In other news, Elle was invited to write a book, and she did so in double quick time. Obviously she had a bit of support, and she's doing a virtual book tour throughout July. So if you'd like to receive a copy, a free download of that book, please visit the website youyer.com and go to /download-youyer. I also mentioned Perry Marshall in this episode and some of his work around memos from the head office. So links to Elle's book and Perry Marshall's work will also be at the website lifepassionandbusiness.com. Don't forget our Sunday shortcasts. Our last program was about the roles that we play. Do check out the website Life, Passion and Business for more details, and also check out the free resources that you can find while you're there. And that's it for this week. If you've enjoyed this podcast, if you enjoy any podcast, please like, share, follow, and all the lovely things that you can do to support your content creators, because this platform thrives on feedback from our listeners. Anyway, thank you so much for being a listener here. I appreciate it so much. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you later. All the best.